And we'll continue to read verses 12 through 18 in this section of James that we've been dealing with. And I'll read it first, and then I will continue with this part. Verse 12 says, "Blessed is anyone who endures temptation. Such a one has stood the test and will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love him. No one, when tempted, should say, 'I am being tempted by God,' for God cannot be tempted by evil, and he himself tempts no one. But one is tempted by one's own desire, being lured and enticed by it. Then when that desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and that sin, when it's fully grown, gives birth to death. Do not be deceived, my beloved. Every generous act of giving with every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. In fulfillment of this own purpose, he gave us birth by the word of truth, so that we may become a kind of first fruits of his creatures." Amen. Father, we are again here considering this letter, book of James, who has written so long ago, but is written about things that are still so contemporary. And we ask, God, that again you lead us. You give us, Lord, the teaching that we need today. In Jesus we pray. Amen. Amen. Now, I've been struggling with Rhonda and the book of James this last few weeks. She keeps thinking of what James was saying to her all that time ago. And there's a term that just came to mind as I was considering this section here. It's a term that really describes what I believe is the struggle in our society nowadays. And what we've been dealing with in the last 20, 30 years, although this term was born about 200 years ago, you know, with the advent of high technology and the internet and social media and all this information world in which we live today, it's interesting that we feel less connected than we did before, and especially the younger generation. Although they have all this technology, all this connection, we still feel disconnected. And the sense that we get is that the world and all this globalization that is happening, and it's so easy to get access to information about other places that affect us. In this world, with all that complexion, I think that it is easier for human beings to basically retreat and get back in our man caves or women caves that we know are out there, right? Mm-hmm. Right? There are women caves. Mm-hmm. I know. Okay. Yeah.
She sheds.
I love it. Yeah, that's it. They just have different terms for it, but it's interesting. And this the term that I want to present and consider with you today is nihilism. Now, nihilism is a term that is not used. We hardly ever hear of it, but we experience it a lot more than what we think. It was a concept that was developed or presented by at least the one philosopher that I've heard about. His name is Nietzsche. But there's others that actually coin the term and talk about it, and usually is utilized as a way to defend people's own thinking of their experiences. And I just want to give you a short definition of nihilism. Is the rejection of all religious and moral principles in the belief that life is meaningless. Now, I want you to sit with that just for a tad. Okay?
Repeat it?
Yeah, I will repeat it, and that's why I'm saying it. Sit with this for a second. The rejection of all religious and moral principles in the belief that life is meaningless. So, imagine yourself being in a situation in life where there is nothing that can ground your being. Imagine yourself in a place where all the questions that come to mind have no answers. Life becomes meaningless when we don't have that. And imagine if we reject religion as the basis of our existence, let's say instead of religion, use God. Imagine if that was not there or present at all in our lives anywhere, in our experiences. We would then experience an existential crisis in our lives. Because we would not have anything to aspire to, right? We would have nothing that would be an overarching structure that would help us. Zach, would you please stop playing? Thank you, man. Have a seat. Relax. Enjoy. All right. So we would, what I was thinking about when I was considering this, it's like being in the ocean without a compass, right? And it's like not having anywhere that will lead you in whenever you have anything that is happening in your lives. Now, that would not be a good place to be in. That would not be a positive place for any individual, any human being to be in. And it so happens that if we see our world more and more, this is being penetrating our consciousness without us knowing it.
That's right.
You've heard about the frog in the pot, right? Where this frog, if you put a frog in a hot water pot, it will jump out. But if you put it in a cold water pot and just slowly turn the temperature, right, you will cook the frog. You will not realize that things are changing. Yeah, she doesn't like the frog analogy. But this is the reality, is that whenever we are immersed in a situation and experiences in a world that is in little by little just lifting these themes up, we may not even realize what's happening until we find ourselves in a dire situation. Now, you know that today we hear more and more about people who experience suicide, right?
Yes, sir.
More and more. It's happening, and we don't necessarily have answers. Why? All right, no. I have one that has come up. Well, maybe it's because of mental illness. But I think that is too simplistic. When people are in music, in the industry of music, in the industry of entertainment, are coming out with all the bling, right? All the status, all the things that really call our attention visually, and perform and portray themselves as people who have it all. And not only that, but sort of communicate unconsciously to us that that's the goal. And 99.9% of the people are not there. There's a certain anxiety that is built under our feet. Because we see all that and we say, well, that's the it, right? That's the place where we want to be, but we're not there. The nihilistic philosophy has many, many facets, but I want to sort of compare and contrast that philosophy with this. Whenever you face trials of any kind, consider it nothing but joy. The nihilistic perspective basically is a pessimistic view of the world. Right? Because if I can't obtain this, if I cannot have this, if my problems, all the conflicts that I have in my world cannot be solved, then why live? There's no purpose in life. But James says, whenever you face trials of any kind, consider it nothing but joy because, and we've heard this, right? We started with this last week. Because you know that the testing of your faith produces something important, endurance. So it is important for us to be challenged in our lives. It is important for us to be put in positions that we're not necessarily at ease with. Because that has a way of putting things in perspective for us, and it forces us to think about where I am and what is my purpose in life. Like I said, we could be talking about nihilism all day, but James Ortative, right, Scott? That exhortation for us seems to be like an antidote to the nihilist thinking. Seems to be like a way for us to come around and redo, rethink ourselves. Now, like I mentioned, our youth, our young adults, even older generations deal with nihilistic thinking all the time. But we may not realize that. We don't have to be a nihilist to be having nihilistic thoughts, right? We don't have to actually adopt that philosophy for us to actually go there. We were talking about mental ideation, right? The way that our minds just brings thoughts and invades these thoughts in our lives. And sometimes we even go there without being aware that we go there. Gosh, I've tried in my life to get rid of this behavior forever and ever and ever and ever, and it doesn't go away. What do we do then? Right? What do you do when things seem helpless? Like I said, we could be talking hours, days on this, but let's see how our text helps us in this term. I mentioned a couple of weeks that self-deception leads to self-destruction, right? Remember that axiom we mentioned some time ago? Self-deception leads to self-destruction. And we see how the human being tends to locate the blame of any conflict or unhappiness or disappointment in the world or many ills of the experience, we try to locate that blame on others. Am I, Am I out? I mean, that's our tendency, right? It's to see how others are to blame instead of using the mirror of objectivity that James talks about and that Rhonda helped us with a couple of weeks ago, right? That mirror is the things that stand on their own, that have value on their own. And the way that James puts it for us is called the word. We'll see that in a minute. Now, the statement that where this text starts, blessed is the one who endures temptation, right? Blessed is the one who endures temptation is somewhat counter to that modern person, because we've rather give in than to fight, right? We'd rather just give in than to fight and stand against situations that come to our lives. And then we blame God. And we blame all the angels for what's happening. Right? I mean, we have that thing. Sometimes we experience things in our world and we just say, why God has to allow this? Right. I mean, it's not only us. That was a big question out of the Second World War and the Holocaust. Right. I cannot believe in a God that would allow this. Now, interestingly enough, we don't ever blame the devil for it. Right? It's hard for us to go there and say, well, maybe it was the devil that did this. So, but that is not where we go. We rather blame the neighbor on their circumstances. We rather blame a friend, and we rather even blame God, our structure, right? Our grounding. Now, this is what James says. James calls them blessed, like Jesus calls the poor blessed, right? James goes there to that place of blessing. And they say, and he says, they will receive the crown of life. Now, I have a question for you. Have you ever seen the crown of life? Yeah. Have you ever seen it?
Nope.
No, I mean, right? No. Probably. Have you ever touched it? That's the problem, right? That's the problem. When we see promises like these, when we see a word that tells us, hey, something this good is going to happen, we're like, oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. The skeptic in us is always saying, yeah, but what if it's not true? Right? What if there is really no grounding? What if there is really no structure? What if we find ourselves in a place where it's empty? You see the nihilist thinking, how it goes, and it starts to just flow, and it goes in our lives. That's because we want results, and we want to see results now. We want to see our situations solved, and we want them figured out right away. Just like those who see the persona of those artists who have it all, right? We look at all that and we say, I want that. And I want it now. And why can't I have it? Why can't I just be there? Why do I have to work for it? I don't know if any of you have heard their kids when they're 14, right? Or 30, you know. But wait, you know, look at all, they have the car, the house, this should be automatic, right? We have food, and there's like this nut connection with the work that goes behind all that. I'll give you a a short example of what this could be. And this is just, this is a bad example, okay? All right, it's a bad example, but it's one that I can use. I want my birthday party to be absolutely perfect, okay? Right? And I do all this planning. Judith has been celebrating her birthday for 2 weeks now, and she will continue to celebrate until the end of October. That's her month. It's impossible to achieve perfection in a month. But for that moment, right, for that time that I've reserved for my birthday, I want it to be perfect. And this is what I want. These are my expectations. I want my cake to be chocolate cake with vanilla frosting, right? And I want vanilla ice cream. Please remember that. And I want my candles to be fragrant. I want no more than, no less than 20 people to be present in there. And all of a sudden I see Joe did not show up and Wendy went away for some other event and I don't have the 20 people. And instead of having my ice cream and vanilla, I have Rocky Road. I mean, what happens in our lives when we are faced with conflict? Guess what? What is my first thought? Why in the world did Wendy come? What's wrong with her? I mean, there must be something wrong. I'm the one that is really important here. Right? And why did so-and-so bring Rocky Road? They know very well that I hate Rocky Road. I'd rather have vanilla. Why in the world did they bring this thing and messed up the expectations that I had for my party? Now, I mean, it seems like a silly situation. It seems like, oh, you know, but this is so real that you might be surprised. Because in situations in our lives, when we don't get what we want, we start wondering. And when we wonder, we want others to pay. We do not take responsibility for ourselves. And we lose sight, in the first place, of the purpose of things. See, the higher question is not what are the details of my birthday party, but what is the purpose of my birthday party, right? You follow me?
Yes.
The important question is not the details, but the purpose of this whole thing. Purpose is, I want to celebrate my birthday party with my friends and my family. Does it matter if it's Rocky Road? Does it really matter? Does it matter if Joe decided to go hiking rather than come to my birthday? Or if Wendy had other plans? Does it really matter? Or do I really pay attention to what's in front of me and just enjoy the experience? Expectations have a tendency to lead us to be deceived into thinking that things have to go our way. Verse 18. In fulfillment of his own purpose, he gave us birth by the word of truth. He gave us birth by the word of truth, so that, no, please, you know that very well, right? Whenever somebody, right, so that, please, pay attention now, right? So that we would become a kind of first fruits of his creatures. There is something in our experience in humanity, in our everyday experience, and in our long-term history, that is pointing to something that we can achieve and become. And for that, we need to have this optimism. But it's not optimism per se, right? It's not just optimism for the sake of being an optimist. Oh, you know, so-and-so is an optimist. He's always looking at things bright, you know? No, it's an acknowledgement that things are not necessarily going to be cool always. It's an acknowledgement that things are going to be as they are in our lives, but there is a purpose for me. And I'm okay with that. I'm okay because I have something to achieve in life, even if I don't see it in the immediate. The problem with the nihilistic thinking, even when it's not our philosophy, is that it denies the existence of purpose. It eliminates that perspective where there is something that is for us. And you know what I think? I think that perseverance follows purpose. You get that?
Yeah.
Perseverance follows purpose. Look at the things that we say. I am a friend of God. All right? I am a friend of God. I mean, we sing, they say, today is the day. Be happy. I will, what?
Rejoice.
I will be rejoiced and be glad in it. Why? 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 Because there is a purpose for our lives. Now, I will repeat something that we have covered before. You must understand this, my beloved. Let everyone be quick to listen. I'm repeating this for Rhonda. Slow to speak. Slow to anger. For your anger does not produce, I'm sorry. For your anger does not produce God's righteousness. I mean, this is, she preached on it. She knows.
I feel like I'm being drugged out.
Therefore, rid yourselves of all sordidness and rank growth of wickedness, and welcome with meekness the implanted word. Think. Welcome with meekness the implanted word that was the power to has the power to save your souls. Right? It has the word. We're talking about the word before, right? The word that has the power to save your souls. Oh, got another half an hour. Great. Get rid, or rid yourselves of all hard-headedness. That's why I interpret, right? With sordidness, hard-headedness. And rank growth of weakness, of wickedness, and allowing all this bad thinking to live and procreate in your mind. That's how I interpret this. And welcome the meekness the implanted word that has the power to save your souls.
Amen.
Just one thing about that. Salvation is not only heaven. Hello? Sometimes that's all we think. Oh, I want to go to heaven. What about today? What about all the conflict of today? What about all the experiences that we experience today? What about all the defeatedness that is out there? What about all the attitudes that are in our consciousness and our society? What about all those things that are putting us down and continue to put us down? What about all those things that are in our minds that are trying to just clobber us, make us feel less than we are? What about all the friends that don't do what we want? I mean, relationships. I mean, there's all this stuff in our lives today where we need to have a change of heart, where we need to have to be transformed, where we need to be overcomers so that we can shine the light that we have. That's why I think that James says this, but be doers of the word and not merely hearers who deceive themselves. Because self-deception leads to
self-destruction.
All right, two more minutes. I spoke with Randy yesterday. Randy's a fellow that has come around for food for the last 2-3 years. I met him in winter. It was cold. He came to the door. I'm hungry. Gave him food. We had a chance to speak. Met him yesterday. I'm hungry. It's like, you know, man, wait a minute, you know, you're still in the same place. No, I've been doing all right. I've been doing okay. You know, I just have this issue with drinking and smoking. And, you know, I do, I dabble a little bit here, but I'm not a bad person. I said, stop. Randy, that's exactly where I was 35 years ago. That's exactly what I said to myself. I'm not a bad person. I'm not completely out of control. And that's self-deception. Is the one that continued to lead me into all the junky thinking. And I said, you know, he even took out this card for a mental behavioral assistance place. I said, I've been thinking of doing it. I says, why are you thinking about it? Why are you just thinking that this is going to be good for you and not doing it? That's because you're in the way. Well, you know, my sister and this. Randy, man, I know that when we meet, it's not coincidence. And this, I got to work for you. I had to deal with that same stuff. And I had to say, just put it away. And just overcome that by just saying no to myself. I had to get out of all that stinking thinking that just inundates us. And says, all right, I'm just going to do it. His first saying is that all the people that are there are, and I said, yeah, exactly. You see, that's exactly where we go to. All the people that are there, and you forget about yourself. Who is the one that needs the help? Who is the one that needs to be healed? Who is the one that needs to abandon all this stuff so that he can get in a place of wellness? Get over yourself. Get over yourself so that you can see what God has on the other side. Someday, remember last week, someday you'll look back and say, wow, you know, wow. I would have never thought that I'd be here. That's my testimony. I would have never thought that I'd be here. Amen. But you see how that stinking thinking can get to us. And it's always somebody else's issue. It's always somebody else's problem. It's always somebody else's. And we just don't get out of our own way. Therefore, rid yourselves of all sordidness and rank growth of wickedness, and welcome with meekness the implanted word that has the power to save your soul. But be doers of the word and not merely hearers who deceive themselves. Let us pray. Father, it is in this world, it is in this context, it is in these circumstances, it is in this plain living that we experience that you call us to be overcomers. And to me, that means is not to think of all the things that we immediately think of, but just to think of a different perspective in life. The word of life that may come to us and inundate our lives and just give us not only that hope so that you can feel good, but that hope that just simply gives us life and joy. How can we have joy in the midst of struggles and difficulty? Because of you. Because you are in our lives. So we pray today, God, that you may give us that vision of life. That you continue to implant that word in our hearts and in our souls. That we may see above and beyond what we experience and find there our salvation. In Jesus' name we pray.